Our scripture reading for today is found in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 7, to verse number 10. And I'd like to read that in your hearing today. Philippians 3, 7 to 10. But what things were gain to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10 of Philippians 3. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I am touched with the first part of verse number 10. It says there, that I may know him. This is the prayer of the Apostle Paul. This is the cry of his soul. And this is a reflection, shall I put it that way? This is a reflection of his entire life and walk with God as we look at him through the epistles. This verse, this part, particularly this part of verse number 10, will form the basis of our studies for the next 8 or 9 sessions of Midweek Bible Study. Verse 10 especially will engage your attention because it highlights the theme we wish to pursue, the theme of striving to know God better. Striving to know God better. Every born-again child of God has, must have, should have a constant desire to know God and to know God better. Our whole Christian life should be a learning experience. We should be pressing on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul the Apostle, to whom we look up as an inspiration in terms of the believers walking with God, Paul cries out here. You could actually feel the strain, even the tone of his voice, although we have it in writing, that I may know him, that I may know God, which does not mean that he didn't know God before, but rather it means the degree, the depth, the extent to which he knew God was somewhat limited or restricted. He only knew so much of God. And he wanted to break down the barriers that kept him from knowing God to the greatest, fullest, widest, deepest extent. He desired to know God to the maximum possible. We know many people, don't we? But we know each one of them to a different degree. Some we know, others we know well, and still others we know very well, and the rest we know very, very well. Jesus had 12 disciples, you recall. Only 3 of the 12 were considered to be very close to Jesus. And just 1 of those 3 just one of the 12 had the privilege of actually hearing, feeling, and listening to the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ, the actual heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ. Read the account in John 13, 25, and John 21, and verse number 20. One of those disciples laid his head on the chest of Jesus so that he could actually feel, in effect, the heartbeat of the Lord. It is the people that do know their God, the Bible says. They are the ones that are strong and do exploits. As the great Apostle Paul still longed to know God, even so must each one of us yearn and long to know our God, to know him better than we do even at this moment. Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18, he talks about growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Actually, we grow in our knowledge of God. We do grow in our knowledge of him. Knowledge of him does not come all at once. It is a process. As we walk with him, as we talk with him, as we fellowship and commune with him, as we worship him, we grow in our knowledge of him. And we learn some outstanding characteristics about him as we walk with him and commune with him over time. These characteristics never change. They are peculiar to him and him alone, because we will find in him some characteristics we will never find in a human being. He is God. He is different, and we will talk about that as the days go on. What we will touch on is not everything that may be known of God, but we will touch on what is sufficient to help us to know God a little better than we did moments before we heard or we would hear the word. Our study then will give us a glimpse of God's person as the word reveals him to us. And if we have that desire to really know him, God will reveal himself, and he will cause the truth about himself to unfold before us, and we will get to know him better. Every born-again Christian always has a good desire to know the Lord in a better way, in a deeper way, in a fuller way, in a richer way. We want to be and to live as close as possible to him. First, we would notice that God is almighty, omnipotent, meaning he is unlimited in his power. He can do anything, but that thing must be consistent with his nature and with his purpose. He could do anything, but it has to be consistent with his nature. Whenever we think of God's ability and his ability to do anything, let us always remember that he will always work in line with his word and with his nature. He will never go contrary to his nature. He would not have power to do evil, because to do evil is totally inconsistent with his character, with his being a God who is holy and righteous. His power will never lead him to practice, to perform, or to become a party to what is evil. So we see his almighty power, for instance, in the work of creation. He can do anything. He is greater than anything. He is the Almighty. And we see some of his work in creation. The worlds were made by him. And without him, there was nothing made. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. In other words, the omnipotent God spoke, and the things that were not came into being. He did not have to gather materials from some other planet to make this planet or to make this earth or to make things. He merely spoke the word and the things. Yes, all these things you see came into being. This is his style. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 12 says, he has made the earth by the power, by his power, and established the worlds by his wisdom and stretched out the heavens by his discretion. If he did all this, and indeed he did, let us believe him to fix the lesser things for us. If he has the power, or if he had the power, or if he has the power to have made this earth by just speaking a word, why is he not able to take care of this need that you have? It's a big need for you, but for him, it's not that big. Nothing is too hard for him. Why? Because he is omnipotent. But he did not only make all these things, he upholds these things, and he upheld these things through the centuries. He had been doing so without fail. The sun has never failed to rise or set. The heavens remain and they still stand still. Everything has continued for hundreds of years. He has been doing so without fail and without having to be prompted by anyone or from any source. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 3 tells us, or it is there to show us, that the omnipotent God, our Father, in the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, has been upholding, notice that, he has been upholding all things by the word of his power. Now men build things, and if they do not maintain those things fall apart, they grow old, and they become unsightly. But look at this world. Look up. The heavens declare the glory of God. Look around at night, and the stars, and the moon, and in the daytime, the sun. All of these things are operating with precision. They never have to be repaired. They never have to be adjusted. No part of them has grown, has worn, become worn. God has set them up. And when he sets up something, it is a good fix. It is permanent. Yes, the things that were created by his word are being sustained, supported, and held together by his word also, by the word of his power. and by the power of his word. This entire universe, the whole system, is being held together by the power of this omnipotent God. This God, who is our Heavenly Father, who is our God also, who is our friend, who is our support, in whom we all trust. Let us remember to keep in mind that Christ, the eternal Son of God, was present during the time of creation, and being one with the Father, being one with the Father, shared in the creative process. I like this scripture in Colossians 1 and 17. Several years ago, it was made real to me as I sat in a class taught by a Sunday school teacher. And here is what that word says in Colossians 1 and 17. It says, "And in him," that is in Christ, "all things consist." That is, in him and by him, all things are held together. Imagine, God made these things, and he is still holding these things together after these many years. Think about the children of Israel for a moment as they were going through the wilderness, the wild wilderness, for 40 years, night and day, cold and heat, darkness and light. They were fed, they were housed, they were clothed, they were without a supermarket, and no pharmacy, convenience store. Their garments waxed not old, neither did their feet swell, nor was there a feeble person, any feeble person among them. Deuteronomy 8:4 and Psalms 105. Verse number 37. Who sustained all these hundreds, thousands of people? Some believe there were as many as 3.5 million in that wilderness. Who took care of them? How did they survive? It was a mighty God that watched over them. The greatest demonstration of God's almighty power and his divine power was when he raised Christ from the dead on the third day. I can say it is one of the greatest demonstrations of divine omnipotence, because as a result of that resurrection of Christ from the dead, countless millions have put their faith in God. Millions have gone before us, and millions still exist today. One day is coming when all those who put their trust in Christ and have passed into death, they will become alive again. And they will be changed in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye. Yes, the great power, omnipotence of God was manifested when he raised Christ from the dead on the third day. And not only did he raise him, but he is now seated on the right hand of his Father, waiting for the order to come back to earth, taking the souls and spirits of departed believers and uniting them afresh with their bodies that were buried in the earth years and years and years before. Yes, the body and the soul will be reunited and shall rise with Christ to go into the presence of the Father. This is a wonderful story, and it is a great story, and we need to be hearing more and more of this, and no doubt we will hear more of this as we continue in the days ahead, Lord willing. However, Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day by the omnipotent power of God. And because he rose from the dead, all those who believe in him and trust in him, they will rise from the dead. They may die. And you may say, well, why would he let them die? The wages of sin is death. And because of sin, death will have to take place in many cases, in most cases. But the point is, those who are dead will again be made alive. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Watch this. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Such is the power of this God, omnipotent. His power will cause the dead to rise. And not only that, but he will cause the body, the human body, to be changed and to be resurrected from the earth or the sea or from fires or from wherever they went down. The power of God will cause these bodies to be resurrected. A few days ago, we spoke on this program of how the time is going to come when the earth shall cast forth the dead. This is in the Bible. The earth shall cast forth the dead, and they shall rise again, change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Some people say, Pastor, do you believe that? Yes, I do. Why I believe it is because God is a faithful God, and whatever he says will come to pass. Whatever he predicts, if I may put it that way, shall be fulfilled. So in that day, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You say, will we go up with this same body that we have? We will receive a changed, a new body. And it is with that glorified body that we will rise to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with him. We shall arrive at something called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Check Revelation chapter 19. And when we arrive for that occasion, it will be a glorious and wonderful occasion. Beside these things that I mentioned earlier, the time is going to come when we shall live in the presence of the Lord, because he is the Lord God Almighty, and he promised us that if we believe on his Son Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. God is going to fulfill that promise for every single person who believes and who accepts Christ as Savior. And what will the omnipotent Father do for each of his children? He will preserve us while we live here and while we wait for the coming of his Son. He will keep us from falling. We shall be kept by the power of God, according to 1 Peter 1 and 5. As the Omnipotent provided for the tens of thousands in the wilderness for 40 long years, in the same way, He will take care of each of us in our pilgrim journey. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, Genesis 22 and 14. More than enough is what He will provide. Enough and to spare is what He will provide. We will eat thereof and live thereof, 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. You see, God's omnipotent power guarantees that all His promises will be fulfilled, and we shall behold the beauty and the glory of the Lord God Almighty. This is something that we should be happy about, and to show those who are slow of heart to believe, He will say, "Said I not unto you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" Yes, the time is coming when those who are slow to believe will be quick to believe. I hope it will not be too late. The time is coming in Revelation 19 when at the marriage supper of the Lamb, the feast of the blood-washed saints, a great shout will be heard saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Let us rejoice, it continues, and be glad and give honor to Him. God has plans. And these plans will mean nothing to people who do not believe until they will find, when they want to believe, it might be much, much too late. But people who believe now, people who believe today, people who believe that now is the accepted time and now is their salvation, and they embrace Jesus as their Savior, people who do that, they will have absolutely no cause to regret. Because if they die before Jesus comes back, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The body will lie in the grave, but your spirit and your soul will return to be with God who gave them. And the time is going to come when Jesus returns for His own, and your body will be resurrected, changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This is God's plan. This is God's intention. This is what the Word of God teaches. This is what Jesus came and died for. And because He died for us, He has given us a hope that is steadfast and sure, a hope that will cause us to be on the rejoicing end of the line as time goes by. So, beloved, God is omnipotent, and because of His omnipotence, He is able to do things that no man can do. And because of His omnipotence, He's got great promises in store for you, and He will see to it that those promises are fulfilled. My encouragement to you today, everyone, those of you who know Jesus, hold on and never let go. And those of you who are halting between two opinions, make up your mind, because you can never tell when you will breathe your last. And if you have not made that decision for Christ, you will be lost. For it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the truth of your word, which remains a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We ask that you will touch hearts and lives and cause men and women, boys and girls to understand that they need to prepare to meet their God. And we pray that as the day hastens for the coming or for the return, we pray that more and more will find it wise and necessary to decide for Jesus. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.